Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
You just do so many things. She's the person at the office who just gets everything done. She is largely responsible for just making things happen and putting out every little fire that happens. She runs our young adults program. She's the mortar. She is the glue. She is the wind beneath our wings. She is a sunrise and a sunset. She is the Jemima, and she's come to share with us this morning.
Thanks very much. I don't need to say anything anymore. All right. Who likes sleeping in? Who likes the snooze button on their phone? Oh, it's a bit of a tricky one. When I was younger, my eldest brother, Jeremy, would choose me. He had four other siblings to choose from, but he would choose me to come and wake me up in the morning on the school holidays to get up and do something. Jemima, there's so much to do. There's so much to do. He would come in, or he'd knock at the door. I didn't even need to say anything. He would just come in. Excellent. I'll pretend I'm sleeping, fast asleep. No, he would come. He would come and he'd rip the blanket off. And I'm lying there shivering. Oh, Jeremy, don't go away. Get up, get up, get up. Then he would open the curtains and the sun would come into my room. Just let me go to sleep. No, get up, get up. Wake up, wake up. Next thing he did one morning was reach over me, open the window. And the cool Melbourne breeze would come in and get up, get up. Jeremy, leave me alone. The next thing he did, he'd be very embarrassed for me telling you this. He started blowing on me. Just to add to the wind coming through the window. Just because I was sleeping there. To make me cold and shiver and go, fine, I'll get up. Let's do something today. How annoying. These days, I have me and my alarm with my snooze button. So I can decide when I get up in the morning. In Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In recent times, we've been speaking on the supernatural with our series, and one thing in particular is speaking about how we're empowered for divine service. So this morning, I want to have a chat with you as your sister to call you to wake up, and I choose you, and I choose to speak to you this morning about how you can partner with God and participate in building his kingdom in your life and in building his church through serving him. So within the scripture of Ephesians 2 verse 10, talking about God's workmanship, I think about this and I think, okay, well, I'm partnered with God, I can work with God in this, and well, doing good works doesn't necessarily mean to be a good person. You can be a good person and that can be wonderful. But think about that good works part. Think about what is one good thing that you have maybe done for someone this week. Doing something like this can usually be a sacrifice. It's something that maybe you've gone out of your way to do to bless someone or to talk to someone or to buy someone something. It could be a financial gift. It could have been a text message. It could be a phone call. Maybe something sweet from the bakery, maybe a small gift. You may not see the effect of what you do straight away, but it does have heavenly implications at the end of it and eternal implications. But you can serve God in any area of your life. It doesn't have to mean just in church or just in what scene. It can be behind the scenes as well. And part of your service to God can be being a student, for one. Just because you haven't reached where you think you're going, where you're aiming to go, doesn't mean you're not serving God in what you're doing. It can be running a business. It can be being the best employee in your workplace. It can be being a mom, being a dad. It can be writing cards for people. Some people still use the post these days. A little stamp on the card, put it in the post box. Some prefer email. But it can be encouraging someone or speaking to someone about, hey, I noticed you did this and that really encouraged me. Praying for people can be another way you can serve God. You can serve God by just doing your best in what he's put in your hand. for that day, for that moment in that job that maybe you're not so comfortable in, not you're not so sure why, but seeking God as to what to do, stay or go. I was reading in Chronicles, this is about 2 months ago, and I was looking at it and I was thinking, this is very interesting. And I want to share with you my interesting thoughts from 1 Chronicles 23:18-32. The duty of the Levites was to help Aaron's descendants in the service of the temple of the Lord, to be in charge of the courtyards, the side rooms, the purification of all sacred things, and the performance of the other duties of the house of God. They were in charge of the bread set out on the table, the special flour for the grain offerings, the thin loaves made without yeast, the baking and the mixing, and all measurements of quantity and size. They were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. They were to do the same in the evening. And whenever burnt offerings were presented to the Lord on the Sabbath and at the new moon feasts and at the appointed feasts, they were to serve God regularly in the proper number and in the proper way prescribed for them. And so the Levites carried out the responsibilities for the tent of meeting, for the holy place, and under the relatives of the descendants of Aaron for the service of the Lord's temple. Whew, this sounds like quite a bit of stuff that these guys had to do. The Levites were a chosen people group back in the Old Testament, a group of people called to serve God in God's house, in the temple. And at one point it was actually a tent that was carried around from place to place. And that's how people met with each other and met with God. They had to be of a certain age. If you weren't old enough, you couldn't be, and were a Levite, you couldn't serve in the house. If you exceeded a certain age, you couldn't serve in the house. They generally were the caretakers of the house of God. They did the maintenance, they did the repairs, they would cook, they would clean, they would be musicians, some singers. Some even were magistrates and people who would make decisions for the nation. Some would be doorkeepers. Sounds a little bit like what we have at Compass Church. We've got the hosts, we've got the music team, we've got people who just do whatever, repairs, things that need to be done, people that maybe cook for morning tea or cook for the Compass Community Program. The Levites also helped prepare sacrifices for the priests to offer to God. The priest was the person that would be the mediator between the people and God, who would come and be in God's presence, go behind the curtain and be in God's presence and make sacrifices on behalf of the people for God to forgive their sins. So the Levites would help prepare the different sacrifices that the priest would need to then present to God. The Levites, though, they weren't always at the temple. They weren't always in the house of God 24/7. They also had families to look after. They had businesses and farms to attend to. And they actually had fixed schedules as well. So they came when they were, I guess we would say in this day and age, rostered on. So can I be any more blunt? They took turns in performing their duties assigned to them. And aren't you glad that we don't have these rules and regulations in this day and age, that we don't have to come and be of a certain age and do certain things to make it into that people group that can serve in God's house, that can stand at the door and greet people, that can help wash up in the kitchen after things are done, that can help with the movie fundraiser night? How can I help? You are chosen. God has chosen you to serve in his house and to serve in your life in whatever area he has put you in. My first experience of serving was actually when I was 12 years old at the church office, helping the lady in the office stapling the bulletins. And over 10 years later, I'm now that lady in the office. Yeah, it still messes with me. Anyway, so you don't have to fit or any rules or regulations to serve in God's house. In Psalm 92, in verse 13, it says that those who are planted in God's house will flourish. And that's a promise to say that when you're planted, when you're seated and committed to a place, that you will flourish in the courts of your God. And whether or not you're new or visiting, or whether you're still sussing out where your church home is, if it's not Compass Church, then we encourage you to find a place that is your church home, where you can be planted and where God will, as he said He will help you flourish in His house, whether it's here or whether it is elsewhere. I want to share with you how God works on our behalf and how I've experienced God working on my behalf as I've just served Him and just been diligent in what's been in my hand. I was a couple of years ago living in Sydney, and I was studying there and serving in a church. And again, on rosters, being on performing duties that had to be done, coming early. One of my roles was to be on a host team, just putting out the envelopes, putting out the flyers. At that time, being a student, you've got assignments to do. I had this big chunky laptop that my auntie gave me to take with me, and you couldn't even save on USB or anything. It had to be the disk. And I remember disks. It's not too far ago, but still, I couldn't access internet on it. But look, I could type up Word documents and do my assignments. Fine. But just had the faith to believe and was saying to friends, you know what? I'm believing for a laptop. I didn't know how or when, or I just thought, maybe next year sometime. I'm believing for a new laptop, you know. I just said to a couple of people, wasn't yelling it out to the world, but had that faith that God could provide for my needs. So that morning, Sunday morning, got up to press snooze or not to press snooze. Okay, let's just get up. Okay. Putting out the envelopes, putting out the flyers. Met someone there in the church also serving who was there that morning. He said, oh, Jemima, how are you? And I remembered his name. Phineas, I met you last week. Yes, I'm well, I'm well. And Phineas says to me, how are your studies? And I said, they're fine, they're good. Tell me, how do you do your work? How do you do your assignments? Oh, I just do them on my computer and I just go to the library if I need to print anything. Oh, you know, I've got a computer at home. Did you want it? I don't use it. I used to have it at work, but it just sits on my floor and I just have it charged into the wall. Yeah, okay. I thought this guy was just lending me his computer. That's very, very generous of you. Brings the computer over the next week. It's a nice Dell. I, you know, still have to plug it into the wall because it was low on battery and just needs to be charged all the time. That's fine. It was a blessing to me. I could do everything that I needed to do. This man comes over the next week and says, I just want to put on internet for you and your housemates so you guys can have access to the internet as well. Free of charge. I'm thinking, Phineas, can I give it? No. This is for you. What do you mean this computer's for me? Yeah. This is my gift to you. God's blessed me. I can bless other people. Okay, wow. My confession of faith and declaring, you know, I'm believing for a laptop, had just come by in the next 2 weeks. I didn't see it coming, but how God had blessed me in that. Just being diligent and that morning going, to snooze or not to snooze? No, I'm rostered on this morning. I better go and be on my host team and just put out my envelopes, put out my flyers. And God blessed me. That story goes on. I still can't believe it. Moved from different houses and then every now and again, oh, Phineas, I just need some advice on internet. And he comes over, this is another year later, how's the computer going? And then he says, oh, I need to do some updates. Takes it away. Comes back. Oh, I tried to fix something. It's not working. May I take it back again? Okay. Comes back. He's fixing something and he brought his another one of his computers, his MacBook, and he's asking me to play on it and I didn't really know what to do. I'm looking at different things. How do you like it? You know, it's nice, it's cool. I'm thinking, oh, when can I get my computer back? Then he leaves and he goes, okay, I fixed it. I think everything's fine. May I come back? Okay, yep, sure. Comes back, starts setting this computer up. I'm thinking, where's the black computer? Where's the other? What's this shiny new silver one he's got for me here? He's bought me a MacBook Pro or got it somehow, and he's got the cover and all the protection I need, all the updates and all the different programs on it that I wouldn't even know how to use. And there's that music program there, and there's this. Phineas, you didn't buy this for me. Oh, I just got it. It's here. Where's my computer? It's here. What are you talking about? He'd given me this amazing. I wouldn't have expected it. It wasn't 2 weeks after I had made my confession, I'm believing for a laptop. God just provided for me, just being diligent in what He was doing in the time that I needed. I still can't believe it. God is so good. And still have that computer to this day. And every now and again, I might get an email. Jemima, you have an. Is everything okay with it? You know, have you got some other computer doctor to come and help with your computer needs? No, everything's fine. But no strings attached. This man just loves to serve God in his gift of being good with IT and being good with computer engineering and knows how functions and things work on a computer. How can I bless someone else with what how I'm gifted and in the workplace that I am in? So another instance as well with God blessing me and working on my behalf was I was just on the welcome team at this church and I had to come early. To snooze or not to snooze? No. I'm rostered on to be on welcome team. All right. We'll get up, have to walk into the crowd and just meet people I hadn't met before. Pretend I was confident at that and come, oh, how are you this morning? Oh, is it your first time today? And this lovely couple was sitting there and they sort of smiled to themselves and said, no, we've been here for 23 years. And I thought, oh my gosh, okay, I'm the one that's new. Lovely, lovely, lovely couple. And at that time, I didn't have family. I didn't have my parents there. Didn't really know that this was an area of need in my life, that two people could come and fulfill a space where I could have mentors and where I could have people speaking into my life, people to care for me, to have me over for family lunches and things like that. And this couple are still, to this day, close friends of mine. I call them my Sydney parents. They're my mentors. I call them up regularly to have a chat and to ask advice and to seek some wisdom on what I'm going through. God meets your needs. That morning, to snooze or not to snooze? No. Get up and wake up and realize what God had planned for me. I wasn't thinking that was a need. I wasn't praying, but God knows what we need and he will meet you there. And me choosing to build God's house, understanding, and I want you to understand this morning, that God will build your house as well when you put him first and serve him. He'll meet your needs and your desires and he'll provide for you at the right time. But in serving, we've got to have the right motive. I didn't come out going, so I'm going to meet, find that person who works in it. He's going to give me, I'm going to just drop it in. You know, I just need a new laptop and you know what's. No, I just did my work silently. I did it with a good attitude and a good motive. And God brought about what he needed and answered my, I guess, response to my faith declaration that God would provide for me. I would rather work on behalf of God than me work on behalf of me to get things done and to get things happening and to get things moving. So I want to bring this a little closer to home to you today and bring you with me to meet the people. What do I mean by that? I'll come over and we're going to have a little chat to Glenn and to Viv. Everyone, meet Glenn. Glenn is a faithful servant of Compass House. Glenn, you've been here for how many years now?
Probably, I don't know, 3 months after it started, so nearly 4 years.
My, almost 5 years. Glenn comes early. How early do you come, Glenn, on the days you're on? Glenn is humble.
8 o'clock.
Glenn comes at 8 o'clock. Glenn sets out the banners at the front, as well as Irwana as well. The banners with a team. He oversees the setup team. He helps the guys pull out the things in the trailer when we had the trailer that came to set up what you see now. We've got the drums and the mats and the mics and all the leads and the cords. What needs to be done? Glenn will do it. Glenn sets out the signs in the morning. That morning could, oh, to snooze or not to snooze. No, I'm rostered on. I'm leading the guys. I have to be an example. I will be there. Glenn's also a school teacher. He's got things to do with his time. Vivian is from Fiji. Vivian works in insurance.
That's right.
Vivian needs to find a good home church. Somehow finds us through a cousin.
Yeah, coming from Fiji, I wanted to go to a church really close by, so I Googled it and it was Compass. And that's how I found out about Compass. Yeah.
Google.
Yep.
Wow. Google's got a lot of answers. Not everything, don't trust everything, but when you find a good church called Compass, trust that one. Vivian comes, sees the signs out the front. Compass Church, okay, I've got the right place. Sees Glenn, Glenn sees her, not sure. Something happens, there's a spark. Vivian decides to help on the hosting team. She's serving diligently in the house. Time goes by. I'm not sure how long it took for you guys to actually meet. Glenn doesn't muck around. Glenn doesn't muck around. Glenn gave Vivian 3 months to settle in, to then say, that is a fine specimen. And 15 months later, is it? They're thinking, They are now engaged. So nearly 2 years. They are now engaged and are going to be married. So when that morning Glenn thought, I'm rusted on, and Vivian, I'm going to use New Church, I don't know anyone, meets Lester at the door, sees people getting massages, think we're some cult. What is this church? They are now both planted here, serving in God's house and is seeing God meet their needs in other areas of their lives, but have also caused them to meet one another. And they're a great blessing to us, for sure. Everyone, I want you to meet Erwan. Erwan, sometimes we don't even know where Erwan is because he's always doing something, some area of the church. He could be helping the kids. He could be fixing something on the coffee machine. Erwan, he buys your milk in the mornings for your coffee. Erwan comes early. Erwan sits at the back row and pretends that no one can see him. But we have identified Erwan here, sitting wearing his Why Not t-shirt, because this morning Erwan decided to snooze or not to snooze. No, I'll get up because we've got that shipping container now and I can come a little bit later because I don't have to bring the trailer anymore, hitch it to my car after working night shift at McDonald's, not getting any sleep, but knowing I'm rostered on to serve in church, and I'm going to bring that trailer, I'm going to bring the music equipment, I'm going to bring the cords and the mats in the trailer because it lives in my house and it's my responsibility to bring it and help build the house of God. Is that right, Erwan?
Yes.
Erwan, if he had decided to snooze, I wouldn't want to think what would happen. This wouldn't be here, wouldn't be going as well. Erwan is a great servant of God's house and understands the principle of being planted in God's house and him flourishing, God meeting his needs in his life. Go see Erwan. Give him a hug, man. Show him some love. He's a great, great servant of God's house. And he's single, Lester points out to us. Erwan also makes your coffee and he takes your coffee orders and somehow he manages to give you your coffee if you order it through him. He sort of does a bit of everything. I want you to meet now Kim and Rod. Kim is not here. Why? Because she's serving in God's house in the way of kids' church ministry, so she's out there. Kim and Rod, they've been in McKinnon for how many years?
Oh, man, okay. Maybe 18 or something?
They've lived in McKinnon for 18 years. They've got 4 kids. Rod's a physiotherapist. Kim works in accounting. The kids play sport. They play music. They've got things to do. But they choose to serve in God's house. They choose to have a child's friend over for a sleepover one morning. Mm-hmm. The child doesn't want to come to church the next morning where they would attend before. They thought, okay, we'll drop you home and then we'll head off. I've been praying for a church in this area, McKinnon, for quite a few years. Yep. Go drop off the child at the church. Look across the road to the green signs that Glenn and Erwan had put out that morning. Compass Church. Hey, look, says Jonty.
It says Kim.
Kim.
I was a skeptic.
All right. Rod wasn't sure. Maybe Rod was on the lines of Vivian going, is this some cult? Who are these people? Hey, look, there's a church. Decide to come in that morning. And they've been here for quite a while and now are partners with Compass Church and have seen the blessing that it is to be planted in God's church and to see their family flourishing and to now have a youth ministry that Jonty can go to. And Michaela settling into the kids ministry as well. And sometimes I come in the morning and Rod's running out with his younger son to go pick up one of the kids that's having piano lessons and race back to church. And I'm on mat duty. And you come and he'll put out those mats and he'll help the boys with things. But if Rod didn't come do that, we'd have that empty floor there. Some things might be missing. Rod then runs around and gets one of the children for music. Kim and Rod come in separate cars to church. Why? They could come in the same car, nice family. No, and that never happens because it's chaotic, but they've decided to be planted in God's house and to serve God and understand the principle of what it is to do that and the blessing that it is. And I tell you, without them, pause, because they are a great part of our church and we need people like these guys, and you are that too. Kim also helps with the church finance, which helps me because I hate numbers. And she helps in the kids ministry as well. And these are an amazing couple that serve God faithfully and do it without complaining, as each of the others do as well. Meet Sean. Sean's over there. Sean and Tanya, they've got two boys. They've got busy lives. They've got things to do. Sean's setting up business. Sean prays for quite a while. Was it a couple of months ago? Was praying just for some things to break through to happen with his business and for him to have meet an accountant and to get some things started for work. Sean sometimes stays back after the service and helps Pastor Phil pray for people. One morning, Phil just asked Sean simply, "Hey, Sean, this morning, can you actually just do something different and just go meet some people in the foyer, just greet some people, and just tell us what happened, Sean?"
Yeah, I just went out to greet some people I hadn't met before and saw a couple standing there, Bruce and Nari, and just started speaking with them. And they asked what I did, and I asked what they did. And it turns out that Nari is an accountant with also an office in Hong Kong and connections in China. And my business is specific to Hong Kong and China, and I've been searching for the right accountant to use, and I've been praying to God, "Lord, connect me with the right people." And there was my solution. The very next Thursday, I was in their office, and they're my accountant.
Amazing. But wait, there's more. Nari is the sister of Kim. Kim and Rod came to Compass Church because they saw the signs out the front that Glenn and Irwin put out that morning. And they could have said, "To snooze or not to snow, I'm rusted on and I'm going to serve, and it's a privilege to serve God in his house. I'm going to come." Sean trains Irwan to make the coffee. So Irwan's making the coffee, so Sean is freed up to just do whatever needs to be done and to go meet someone in the foyer that morning. Can we see some connection? Are you getting me? Are you feeling me? That there's stuff going on when we commit to serving in God's house, when we commit to building his house, that he will build ours, that he would cause Glenn and Viv to meet one another, that he would cause Sean's business to prosper, that he would cause Kim and Rod and their family to prosper in what they're doing, and Irwan being faithful in what he's doing, bringing about great results in his life as well, and helping us to have a great Sunday morning together, a place that we can bring our friends to, that we can meet with God. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it talks about us being chosen by God. I read the Message version because it comes out pretty cool. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he has made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Isn't that cool? God has chosen us, and it's saying here that we are called to priestly work, that now we are God's high priest. Now we are those people, we can come to God ourselves, we can be in God's presence, don't have to go through anyone else to get to God. That curtain has been open, and in that temple, in those times when Jesus died on the cross, that temple, that curtain actually tore in two, symbolizing us not needing to go through anyone or through any means to get to God. We can come to God ourselves. We can serve God in any way and at any time. We can talk to God at any time. In this verse here, it's also talking about telling others of the difference he has made for you, declaring his praises of what he's done for you. And I tell you those stories of my Sydney days, and we've heard stories from the guys in our church about what God did back then in those days. But my challenge in recent times is to myself thinking about it, going, God, I don't want to talk about those days. I want to talk about these days, what God's doing in my life. Not back then. You know, why was that a different location and a different time and a different state? Why am I keep talking about the good things God did then? No, I want to talk about what God's doing in these days in my life, what God did last week through me and for me in my life, how I was able to bless somebody else through what I was doing diligently. You also got to serve with the right attitude. We only have two paid staff at Compass Church. The rest, we rely on volunteers and you guys to run what we have here today with the what you see here on a Sunday morning and what you see behind the scenes within the office and through the community program and the feeding program that we have people making meals for. Kim and Rod, Sean, Irwan, Glenn and Viv, they've got things to do. Like the Levites, they had other things to do. during the week. They've got businesses, homes, other pastimes, things that they like to spend their time doing, but they are committed to serving. And they'll come on their scheduled time to serve and to think, to snooze or not to snooze. Now I'll get up and I'll wake up and I'll do what I know I'm called to do. That I know if I do it faithfully, God will build my house as I build his. I want to challenge you to get rid of that when-then mentality. When things slow down a little bit, when I'm not so busy anymore, then maybe I'll serve, or maybe I'll write that letter to, or that email to somebody. I just want to acknowledge that, you know, they've been a great, made great difference in my life. And I'll, when I have time, I'll email that person and just tell them they did a great job. No, take that 2 minutes and write that email and press that send button. Oh, when I have time, then I'll go see someone at the hub and say, you know what, I want to get involved in a life group now, and I just want to come and meet people, make connections with people. But when I'm less busier, I'll get around to doing that. When I'm less busier, I'll ask Viv, hey, how can I help on that host team? You know, I'm not really good at baking and things like that, making some morning tea, but I can stand at the door and say hi to people as they come in. Serve God on the way to where you're going. Oh, but I'm studying at the moment, or I've got this really busy business starting. And when I get that sorted out, no, I encourage you to now make a change and serve God on the way to where you're going. So within church, outside of church, in your own life as well, just to stop and, you know, God, if I'm your workmanship, if you created me in Christ's image for the purpose to do good works, and how can I do better works for you and represent you well in my life, in what I'm doing, what you've called me to do with my time? God has chosen you to partner with him in what he's doing. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need me. I could be doing something else and building my own house, my own kingdom, my own desires, but they won't be going as well if I did not include God. You are God's workmanship, and you're called to participate with him in serving his kingdom in your life through blessing people and in serving in his house. And as your sister this morning, guys, I'm calling you to wake up, open the curtains, let the sun come in, let that cool breeze come in to wake you up. Don't press snooze. That's my question to you today. What are you going to do? You're going to snooze or not snooze? And I think you know the answer by now. So let me leave you with those thoughts. And I pray that as you test this stuff, go seek God out in his word and go, okay, well, what do you have for me? God will speak to you and he will put you in a place where you can serve. And look, it may be something that people don't see all the time. It may not be noticed or mentioned, but it has heavenly implications and it helps to build God's kingdom, and he will most definitely meet yours. And I encourage you to go chat to these guys after the service, meet one another and go, you know, what's your story? How did you find out about Compass Church? Or Viv, why did you do what you do? Kim and Rod, you guys are so busy. Ask each other, we're family. Let's do life with one another. Get involved in a life group. Be connected with one another. Wake up.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.